At 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will air a Valentine's Day special to bring to light the fact that, because of incarceration, many people are separated from their friends, family, and lovers on Valentine's Day. We will be reading your short messages to your friends and loved ones on air. So whether you are behind bars and reaching out, or are out and reaching in, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our email address is kbooppc@gmail.com, and our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Address your messages to Prison Pipeline Collective. Then tune in on February 15th at 6:30 p.m. to hear your messages read on air.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Holding On to the Sky, February 5th through 7th and 12th through 14th, 8 p.m. at the Peninsula Odd Fellows Lodge in Portland. Holding On to the Sky is an original play about earthquake preparedness, which weaves together stories of disaster, gentrification, health access, addiction, recovery, and resilience. Again, that's Holding On to the Sky, February 5th through 7th and 12th through 14th, 8 p.m. at the Peninsula Odd Fellows Lodge, 4834 North Lombard Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, February 12th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Stephen Zunis joins us today to talk about Syria and what the situation there might look like under Hillary Clinton presidency. In essence, particularly in the Middle East, probably the most important American player on the stage would be Secretary of State. But Clinton has a reputation for being, or she is trying to foster her somewhat slippery image as a liberal. But one only needs to look at her track record as Secretary of State to see what a frightening hawk she really is in real life, particularly with regard to look no further than Palestine, where she staunchly has defended Israeli war crimes right from the get-go. That alone is cause for alarm, and we then can push a little further west and take a look at Morocco and the South Sahara, which has been a conflict zone for a long time. And Clinton has just definitely done nothing to cool things down there. But that said, I want to just bring up the fact that the death toll right now from the war in Syria stands at 470,000. That's 470,000 lives. Very likely that's lowballing it. And when you think about lives, it's important. It might be helpful or useful to see that number as 470,000 worlds destroyed. Each person's life is a world. Each person's views their experience as their experience of a world, and it's gone. It's out in a flash. And there are the great many other. There are right now the anti-ISIS coalition. They believe they've made a bit of progress. We'll see how that holds up in reality. But now with Russia deeply involved, we may be looking at World War III. We don't know yet. A Hillary Clinton presidency would definitely, not so much for negotiations with Syria, but negotiations with Russia at this point. So I'm very happy to welcome back Stephen Zunis, Professor of Politics, Chair of Middle Eastern Studies at the University of San Francisco, and recently wrote the U.S. has no credibility dealing with chemical weapons, which states U.N. Security Council Resolution 687. Well, in other words, we know that once again, the U.S. has been less than a reasonable and fair-handed negotiating partner, and everybody, all sides know this. So pushing it is to no avail, really. But that said, good morning, Stephen, and thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you again.
Well, it's it's a little bit easier for people to see now that the dust has settled on Harney County here in Oregon, and what we see, what we're faced with, is of course the specter of a really full-fledged war in Syria and additional floods of refugees straining Europe. The question still remains unanswered. Why not Saudi Arabia or Gulf states lending a hand here? That said, though, we have to consider seriously what would happen if there was indeed a Hillary Clinton presidency. How dangerous really is she? You wrote an extraordinary piece before we go any further, the Cairo Review. There's a piece, Hillary the Hawk, and I definitely, anyone who would want to understand what's going on in that part of the world, I commend your attention to this really painstakingly researched, in-depth article. It's incredibly dense writing, and there is no corner that it does not shine light on. That's okay. But Hillary Clinton presidency, so much, not so much Syria, but her stance vis-a-vis Russia is what I think is so dangerous.
She's definitely a hawk pretty much across the board. She was one of the minority of Democrats in Congress who voted to authorize the invasion and occupation of Iraq, despite being informed that it was illegal and it was unnecessary and would have disastrous consequences. She, unlike a number of other Democrats who initially voted for the war resolution and quickly recanted when it was became obvious that the rationales were not correct and we were being bogged down, as many of us predicted, into a bloody counterinsurgency war, Hillary doubled down and defended her vote, essentially saying, well, it really wasn't about weapons of mass destruction. I'm glad I voted for this anyway. Indeed, she did not start calling it a mistake until she was just about to run for president and saw how overwhelming the opposition was among Democrats. But she's also, you know, cited... despite touting her feminist credentials, you know, she has been a big supporter of closer strategic cooperation with Saudi Arabia, the most brutally misogynist regime on earth. She has supported, you know, quite a number of other Arab dictatorships in the internal discussions in the White House during the Arab Spring. She was one of the stronger voices supporting the status quo and backing U.S. allied dictatorships in countries like Egypt, Tunisia, Bahrain, Yemen, and elsewhere when they were being challenged by popular pro-democracy movements. She sides with the more right-wing elements in Israel, Netanyahu government. She's done photo ops at illegal Israeli settlements. She attacked the International Court of Justice for pointing out that it was illegal for Israel to build its separation barrier deep inside occupied territories, accusing it of not supporting Israel's right to self-defense, even though the court said they could build a wall along Israel's internationally recognized border, implying that she sees the West Bank as part of Israel. She's also defended Israeli war crimes. For example, when Israel bombed that UN school housing refugees, they were condemned by the Obama administration. They were condemned by Senator Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton, in her interview in The Atlantic, defended it, falsely claiming Hamas was firing rockets in the vicinity, which investigations show they weren't, and even going as far as to saying that Israel was not responsible for civilian casualties since Hamas started the conflict, which is directly counter to basic international legal principles. Israel's not the only occupation she supports. She's a big supporter of Morocco's occupation of Western Sahara, saying the United States should recognize Morocco's illegal annexation of that territory they illegally seized by force back in 1975 in defiance of the World Court and the UN Security Council. Despite the brutal human rights situation there. In other words, she's definitely on the hawkish wing of the party. I mean, Obama's been pretty disappointing in my view in his foreign policy, but Hillary is far worse. I mean, she is in many ways closer to the Republicans than she is to the majority of her fellow Democrats when it comes to foreign policy.
Or even to the right of some Republicans on foreign policy. I have two questions. I hope I have time. Where does she come by these extreme hawkish positions? Because it cannot in any way, shape, or form benefit her politically.
This is the thing. Some people rationalize saying, oh, she's a woman, so she has to sound tough and to help her get elected. But it was her support for the Iraq War, which is largely responsible for her losing in the primaries 8 years ago to Barack Obama, who touted his anti-war credentials. I think she comes out of this tradition of the Democratic Party, one that's being less and less prominent, that goes back to people like the late Washington Senator Henry Jackson, Scoop Jackson, or Hubert Humphrey, the former senator and vice president, people who had fairly decent records on human rights and labor and civil rights and a lot of domestic issues, but were big supporters of the Vietnam War, opponents of détente, supporters of Israeli expansionism. The liberal hawks, which shaped much of U.S. policy during the Cold War era. Again, they're kind of a dying breed, fortunately. But
yes.
Hillary Clinton is very much a part and parcel of that tradition. And it's ironic that, according to polls, Democrats have never been more progressive, more anti-interventionist, more pro-human rights in terms of the rank and file, and yet we may be on the verge of nominating the most hawkish Democratic nominee since Woodrow Wilson.
It's an extraordinary situation. And the rest of the world, no doubt, looking on in abject horror at the prospect of a Clinton presidency, because parts of the world too. Her presidency would be certainly.
Oh yes, she was a big supporter of the coup in Honduras,
yeah.
which has inflicted a terrific horror against that Central American nation. She's been a big advocate of neoliberal policies around the world, which have definitely had an impact on the poor, on the environment, and disproportionately on women. She really pressured Haiti when she was Secretary of State to keep their minimum wage at a ridiculously low rate for U.S. assembly plants. I mean, you know, she is I think there's some legitimate concerns about her many of her domestic policies. I think it's foreign policy, you know, where the distinction between her and Bernie Sanders is most critical. I mean, I've been disappointed in a few of Bernie's positions as well, but he's so much better on so many of these key issues. And while, given the Republican Congress, it's doubtful that either that Bernie or Hillary could get through many key points of their domestic positions, on foreign policy, where the president has a lot more leverage, they really can make a difference, and that's why it's so critical that we remind otherwise progressive voters who might be leaning towards Hillary Clinton just how far to the right her foreign policy positions are.
And indeed, you write, and in the essay, which was done for the Cairo Review, that you cite a New York Times article that noted how neoconservatives are aligning themselves with Hillary Rodham Clinton and her nascent presidential campaign.
She, in fact, you know, many of the neocons, remember, came out of this liberal hawk tradition of the Democratic Party. Some of the top neocons were actually staffers for people like Hubert Humphrey and Scoop Jackson. And many of their, you know, many of them are pretty moderate on their views about.
We are way over time. Hang on, Stephen. We've gone way over.
They're really right wing in their foreign policy.
I wanted to ask you if there was any country in the world that you could think of or any situation that Hillary Clinton has not been on batting for the wrong team.
I have. You know,